How can we engage the culture, especially in books, music, and movies, with charitable and critical discussion through a lens of faith and as a means of drawing ourselves and others closer to Jesus? I'm Ali LaVille.
And I'm Andy Norton. This is Though They Die, talking about the things of this world through the lens of eternity. Today we're discussing the biggest movie of its time, James Cameron's Titanic. Welcome to the show.
I am so pleased with our intro music, Andy. Yeah. Wow.
I am so pleased.
That was a gem.
We picked that out.
It's really
never gets old.
No, it doesn't.
The 24th time that we've heard it.
But we've had multiple takes sometimes. Well,
that's true,
so we've heard it a few more times.
That's true.
We were at Andy, and when we were trying to figure out the intro music, we were like,
It was a struggle.
We were like, oh, what's our vibe?
Yeah.
Like, we were looking at like techno.
We barely knew each other then.
Really?
Yeah. We hardly knew each other.
That's true. That is true.
We were the kind of people who were like, oh, yeah, I know him. Yeah, of course I know
him. Yeah, of course I know him.
And then it was like, actually, I know basically nothing about him. Yeah. Yeah.
I know that he's got dark hair and a wife and children. And,
well, you think we like knew some of the important things, but really vibe. Sure. We didn't know our vibe.
No,
we didn't know who
no
we were.
No vibe checks there.
We didn't know individual vibe, let alone together vibe. So
we're thankful.
We're thankful.
But you're not here to hear about songs and stuff. You saw that title and you got stoked out of
your mind. You heard something else. You heard near, far, wherever you are. I'm not gonna try and sing it. My voice is still sick. There you go.
Far.
There you go. Wow, jeez.
I'm not gonna
amazing.
Do it.
Amazing. Celine Dion over here, right?
Is that her name? Gosh, she's gorgeous.
So
you know how Miss Piggy's obsessed with Celine Dion?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Miss Piggy's obsessed with Celine.
Wait,
Dion.
How do you in like the show or
in the new movies? I think I'm pretty sure she is. But she also has like a rivalry with her. Miss Piggy's always thinking she's better than Celine.
She's like in it, right? Celine Dion
or something.
Is in the
movie. And Celine shows up.
Right.
I feel like that sometimes. I feel like oh Celine.
Oh, absolutely. That's hilarious.
At any rate.
But you're here to talk about Titanic.
That's right. The Titanic.
Yes.
Which is actually just Titanic is the name of the film. It's
right.
Not the Titanic. It's just Titanic.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
The movie, the ship is the Titanic.
The ship is the Titanic.
Yeah.
But the movie is just Titanic.
And it is Titanic. It is a massive movie.
It is
movie.
A Titanic movie.
It was the biggest movie of its
time.
They
spent more money on the movie than the actual boat.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. 200 even
million,
adjusting for inflation.
Yeah, $200 million.
I think they could have made
a
few Titanics with the money from
the movie.
Well,
then they made $1 billion, though. My understanding is that I think it was the first movie
that surpassed
$1 billion.
Yeah, hold on. Highest, let's just do a quick highest grossing
movies. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's only now been
It got by Avengers.
By Endgame. Yep, Avengers Endgame.
List of highest grossing films.
And Avatar, which is another James Cameron.
Yeah, so Avatar is the worldwide highest grossing film at, oh my goodness, $2,847,246,203.
Insane for a movie that I didn't even love.
And second, it's not great. It's not incredible. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I saw it as a kid and I was like, whoa,
Blue people.
Second highest grossing is Avengers Endgame at $2,779,501,328.
Yeah.
And then Titanic is now at third, which is still pretty impressive.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's third. At $2,187,425,379.
That's amazing. Out of curiosity, what's the fourth?
Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Dang.
$2,068,223,624.
That's pretty good. I just heard a bunch of numbers. I'm not a numbers guy. That was a lot of numbers.
That sounded impressive, for sure. Dude, wait, hold on, though.
What's going on? What is
number,
it?
Okay, so that's number four.
Yeah.
Number five is Avengers Infinity War. Number six, Spider-Man No Way Home.
Dang. Wow. There you go. I mean, that's why everything is
going to... That's crazy.
Yeah, that is such a big deal. That's wild.
Gosh.
That's wild. That's so wild. Man, we're talking about it not only because it was a big movie, but why else? Why are we talking about this movie?
It was very requested by my
girlfriend. It was very requested. But there's other people too. There were a number of people. I think
that's true. We
would
have a number of people.
We'd be like, oh yeah, like someone wanted us to do the Titanic, and then people would be like,
wait, do that.
You should do that. You should do that.
Yeah. And but so, really, I do want to give major props, Sarah Ray LaVala.
Yeah. Props.
Was just consistent and persistent.
had you seen it?
I had not seen it. I saw it for the first time with her and a good friend of ours, Liz Holman. And,
Very
and her
cool.
sister Teresa. Oh my gosh, was it a month ago now or so?
Okay. So I watched it last night for the first time.
For the first time? Oh, this is so exciting. Isn't that crazy? Great. Yeah.
So we're first timers on this thing.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
And when I say last night, I mean including this morning. I woke up at 5:30 and finished it.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it's a long
you
movie.
You finished this movie at 5:30 in the morning, Andy?
Yeah, man.
That's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, any movie at 5:30
I was trying to finish it, and my son was taking forever to go to sleep. It was crazy.
So, a little Maddie.
So eventually, I was just like, I'm just going to fall asleep and wake up in the morning. So I did, and then watched essentially the entire kind of sinking part is what I watched this morning.
Wow, so, what a way to wake up.
Yeah.
Jeez, man.
It was crazy. So this is extremely fresh for me.
That's
for
great. Sure. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
I never watched it. And in fact, so just for full disclosure, when I was a kid, obviously I knew about this movie coming out. Like it was like everyone talked about it. It was a huge deal. But it was pretty like derided in my like family circle. We didn't, you know, we were very careful about what movies we watched and et cetera. And it was just like, I knew there was like some, you know, inappropriate content in it and for a child at least for sure. And we just would like, we would kind of laugh at people who were like, oh my gosh, like all these, you know, women watching it like six times, you know, it was right. Like bumping up the numbers of it. And so we like saw that as like negative and just like, dismissed it. And so that's why I've never watched it.
Same.
Honestly.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So you had a similar thing? Yeah.
Yeah. I think growing up, the only thing I knew about it was, and fair warning, like it is not appropriate for children.
It's not.
Due to a few scenes in particular.
Yeah.
But I mean, my experience also of it growing up was definitely like the typical like, oh, paint me like one of your French girls kind of comment.
Yeah,
and that was like, among middle school boys in particular, that was, you know, very parodied. And yeah, I mean, and it was definitely like a film that in my lens as a middle school, high school boy was like, oh, this is what like sad women in their 30s go to watch or something like that. Like, and I'm not trying to be offensive. This is what I thought.
That's
of it
just
at
what
the time.
I thought. That's what I thought too. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's right.
No, this is good that we're
so,
airing this.
Look at all this. We're getting this all out of it. So going into this, I had basically no one ever saying, yes, it's a film that's worth seeing I was like, truth be told, my girlfriend was like, the Titanic. I was like, you're kidding me. Like, really?
Yes,
that movie
totally,
of all things? I was very not about it. But she was very persistent. I was like, okay, I'll watch this. And she was saying, so Father Brian Park is our chaplain here at Net Ministries. And he gives, he does a mass for the women in, does he do all of the women's session masses or does he just do the fall training one?
I didn't know. Not to women.
He at least always does the opening one of the year for the women.
Yeah.
And he talks about the film,
really?
Titanic, in his homily. And I think he recommends it even. He says this movie has merit to it kind of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
not a fully endorsed, blessing, but he for sure. And so my girlfriend, of course, is like using that as like, look, Father Brian. So I was like, okay, we'll watch it. So all of this going into it, I think it is a good movie.
Yeah.
My summary of what my thoughts of
yes,
it are.
Yes, please summarize.
It's a good movie. The last 5 minutes destroyed it for me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Absolutely tanked it for me.
Okay.
But before, so that's my,
let's talk about that later.
That's my overall. But getting into it, I want to look at, so we've got, I'll give you the summary. Can I give the summary this time?
Oh, sure. I have a solid one.
Oh,
no,
Andy, you do it. Andy,
you
do it.
No.
You've already got it pulled up.
Oh, okay, fine. Okay.
You're the summary guy.
James Cameron's Titanic is an epic, action-packed romance. Yeah, I know you like epics. Yeah.
I do like epics. It's an epic.
Set against the ill-fated maiden voyage of the RMS Titanic, the pride and joy of the White Star Line, and at the time, the largest moving object ever built. She was the most luxurious liner of her era, the Ship of Dreams, which ultimately carried over 1,500 people to their death in the ice-cold waters of the North Atlantic in the early hours of April 15th, 1912. Boom. This time.
Wow. That
whoa, actually,
verbiage.
This is 110 years ago this month.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
That verbiage is pretty... wow.
Right? 1,500.
Carried them to their death.
Yeah.
Icy waters. Really driving home the...
It was awful.
It was awful.
Yeah,
oh my gosh. It was nothing short of a tragedy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's... Yeah. Okay. So that's the. I won't get to that.
That's
just
the story.
Yet. That's the story.
No, this is based on a real event.
The Titanic sunk.
I'm sure you knew this.
Broken half, basically.
Yeah.
Which wasn't the initial cause of sinking, of course. It hit an iceberg, and there's a lot of stuff around there. We could very easily get into Titanic history and that sort of thing.
Right. Right.
I think we'll stay away from Titanic history and kind of the movie. Aside from maybe one or two things, is very historically accurate as far as how things happened and, you know, even the way the Titanic looks and this sort of thing. So speaking nothing of relationships on board, you know, we're just talking about, you know, things that happened. It's very accurate. I think there's some discrepancy in, you know, at one point the... I don't know. It's not the architect, but some other dude maybe in charge is really trying to force the captain to run it faster.
Yeah. There's a few.
And
people.
I think there's some gray area there. I don't think that's totally historically accurate. Right. So relationship wise, there's a few things, but by and large, I mean, it's very historically accurate.
Yeah. Can I share a few things about that I learned?
Absolutely.
I watched like a super short video, but it packed like several amazing things. So it said, they did a very careful job of actually taking the photos of the people and matching.
Captain
casting.
Smith straight up looks like Captain Smith.
Yeah.
It's
John
nuts.
Noble, I think is his name. Or no, sorry, not John Noble.
Bernard Hill.
Sorry, I was mixing up Denethor and Theoden. right, from the Lord of the Rings.
Fair.
Yes, absolutely. So they matched the people really well. They went back and checked out like exactly what kind of dishware they would use, like the plates and forks, and recreated all that. They went back to the people, the company that created the rugs and carpeting for the original Titanic, the real Titanic. They still had on the books the design that they used for it. They handcrafted that for the movie. The actual rugs. I wish you could see Ali's face right
Get
now.
It's just, out.
It's just Pokemon
oh,
or Pikachu.
So good.
Pikachu surprise
Bro,
face.
Oh, that's what you.
Isn't that amazing?
Excellence in art, man.
Super
excellence
yes.
in art.
I was so happy with that, and they just recreated all of that so carefully, which I was really impressed by. And also, my quick thing on the movie, my first feeling, I didn't know what to expect coming into it, and seeing how they recreated the Titanic was mind blowing. I was shocked and amazed, and I was like, that looks so good. For being a 1997 movie, it looks so good.
Yeah.
But part of what they did to make it look so good was they actually recreated, I want to say, like about half of the ship in life size.
Yeah.
As well as they had miniatures that they used as well.
The miniatures.
So they combined that, of course, with James Cameron knows his way around, you know, CGI, obviously, as well. And so they did that. They used CGI as well. So, but between all of that, there was never a moment where I questioned the ship. It was just so good. I would question like the lighting. A lot of the scenes was very like, okay, this is studio lighting. But the ship itself looked
awesome.
Fabulous for the entire 3 hours and 16 minute or 14 minute runtime. I know it's 3 hours and 14 minutes because that's actually how long it took to actually sink in real life, which is crazy. And it's pie. So, so this is a few things that I had for like historical things that they did to make
it.
So I was really impressed by that.
Yeah. So, clearly a really good job there.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that to me, that's the biggest like, I don't know. I like the History Channel side of it. Like, I think it's funny that it's a kind of a romance and it's also like basically a history special.
Right.
But that side of it is incredible. For that side of it, I think if you're interested in the actual Titanic, and it's an amazing recreation of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen to that. I think, worth a watch for those that are Titanic enthusiasts.
Right.
There are. I didn't actually know that, but there are. There are people that are really about the Titanic.
It's the kind of thing that just tickles some people's minds. Like, and I think I'm definitely among those. My daughter, Ruth, she was recently reading a book when we were visiting my brother. They had a book. It was like biggest disasters ever. It was like a Dorland Kindersley book or something, or Usborne or something. But it was a big book with pictures and descriptions of stuff, and they had the Titanic in it. And she was going through, and she wrote down, she really likes math. Mm-hmm. So she wrote down all of the numbers of souls lost and people on board in the different classes by class. And mm-hmm. then she added them up. So then she was like, so if you add up all the different people in the different classes, they this many people and this many people died. And so this is, yeah. And she like added it all up. And I was like, this is so interesting that you're like fascinated by not only the numbers of it, but the fact that of how many of them each class survived or didn't. And yeah. it was interesting that they called it out by class in the book.
Yeah. Of course, that's a big thing. Way more, a substantial amount more, lower class passengers died.
Oh, yes.
Than upper class passengers.
Definitely.
Yeah. The margin was pretty big.
Yep.
And that's another thing in the movie. They portray the lower class passengers as having been barred because of class from coming upstairs, because there was kind of gates to keep them from getting into upper class areas. I think there were that one, it did not happen. Like, there were in fact gates to keep them from upper class areas.
Right.
But I don't think they're being forcibly held back.
I had the sense that was probably
a slight over-dramatization
of how it happened. To me, it seemed like it was like, if this didn't happen like this, it's basically what happened. They did make it sure that the first class citizens got, or first class riders. I mean, first class. Yeah. There was a quote in the movie where I think it's Rose says, half of these people will die. And her fiance, who's
Cal,
the worst. He looks beautiful though. Oh my gosh, it's incredible.
Oh my gosh,
he
appeared on screen, so strange. I was like, oh, I do not like you.
Yeah, but
I was fascinated
every time I see his face because he looks
perfect.
It's so perfect. It's strange, so strange. But he says, not the better half is what he says. So she says half of them will die. He says not the better half. Bleh. Oh, sick. Bleh. He's so sick. He's just this sick aristocratic, millions of dollars person.
Man, he's so gross.
He's so gross.
So gross.
He doesn't get what he wants though.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
So no, he don't.
Yeah.
He ends up killing himself, right? Later in life.
That she says that's what she heard. Like, yeah, he lost
money and
millions in the depression or whatever.
And, yeah,
and, yeah.
So he killed himself.
Yeah.
Whoops. Sad story. That's tragic. Getting into it. Getting into some characters and that sort of
thing.
Yeah,
let's do this.
Let me do. I think that the relationship to focus on, right, of course, is Rose and Jack.
Right.
And
so who are they?
Right. So Jack is this young and poor artist who
kind of an Aladdin.
Right. Yeah. Oh, he totally is. Yeah. That's a great description.
Yeah.
Who wins tickets on the Titanic in a poker game and gets on the boat kind of as they're pulling up the gangplank.
Literally as
the gangplank. And is that what it's called? I think that's what it's called, right? When you get the little walk on.
Yeah, the gangway. I believe so.
I think that's right.
Not too much of a ship person. I love ships, but I'm not too familiar with.
Yeah, I don't know all of the super.
The gangway.
He, so they're pulling it up kind of thing, and he runs on with his buddy. What's his buddy's name? I love his buddy.
I thought he got shafted. I thought he got
Fabrizio,
He was like,
Fabrizio?
He had like a bigger role earlier.
Danny Nucci.
Does he really get a good resolution to his character though?
I mean, he dies.
Yeah, I didn't think he was.
When the ship is sinking, one of the big old, it's not a smokestack, but the exhaust essentially.
Oh, okay.
That thing is snapping and he's under it.
Shoot. Yeah.
So that's another point I want to make later. But
yeah.
So Jack Dawson, young, carefree dude, living life kind of
free
thing.
Free spirit.
Very much a free spirit. And then we have Rose DeWitt Bucater.
Yeah, I think so.
That's super.
He says, "Josh, write that down for me."
That's super embarrassing. played by Kate Winslet, and she is high society. Well, as we assume in the beginning, high society, and engaged to Cal Hockley.
Right. I love her introduction. Like she steps out and like she's covered by this huge hat.
Yeah.
And she just kind of looks up, and it's just it's a great introduction. You instantly know who she is.
Yeah.
Unseeing her
in that moment.
Yeah.
Way to go, James Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of our introduction to her. She's high society, but we can tell she's a deep thinker, maybe not as as high society as the company she's surrounded by is. And there's some hints that, she's quite progressive for her time. She references Freud in a dinner conversation.
Right.
And she is not full-on Molly Brown, who is played by Kathy Bates, and one of the company, who's just this rambunctious.
Yeah.
She's new money.
Yeah.
Whereas
very American.
Rose and her mother are old money, and that's better than new money.
Right.
Whereas Molly Brown's like, yeah, what's up, ladies? Going for a walk? We love Molly Brown.
Yeah.
But
I love Kathy Bates. It's so good.
Bates is awesome. Yeah. So, yeah. And so that's kind of Rose. And she is so, you know, sick of life, so over it. She feels so trapped by her fiance, who is abusive and just awful, and that she is contemplating taking her life on the back of the ship, I believe.
Right.
Jumping off the back. And Jack just kind of happens to be hanging out outside sleeping. And this is when they meet, and he saves her life and then gets framed for coming on to her, I believe.
Right.
And then, you know, they're trying to cover it up, but they don't want them to know that she was trying to take her life and all the stuff.
Yeah,
and
so, yeah.
Sticky situation. But they meet, and it is it's the meeting of
star-crossed
lovers. Yeah. That's thank you. I was looking for that word. That's exactly what I was trying to say. The stars aligned.
Yes.
And yeah. And so this is kind of the inciting incident of our action. And oh man, my middle school teachers would be so proud
yes
of me
inciting
that I just
incident.
Used inciting incident.
I love it.
Did you
I'm
ever
so
have to do plot
you.
Mountain? Did you ever have to do a plot mountain?
Oh, I mean, I would do it for fun all the time. I don't know if I ever had to, but
okay.
I love
it. Well,
that
was like required.
Okay.
Make your plot mountain for the story.
I was homeschooled. So I would do it for myself.
Gosh darn
for my own story.
Homeschoolers. So oh my gosh. Grassroots education.
I chose to do it.
So things I want to discuss about their relationship is I think I would love to talk, contrary to what we would normally do, I want to focus on Rose as much as possible.
Oh, dang.
Because wait, I think... Because
contrary, you think we'd normally
Well, normally
focus
we
on
talk
the
about
man.
the dude stuff.
Yeah.
But I think Rose is a really interesting character to discuss because she basically goes from an entire life of, you know, what's the word I want here? Of indoctrinations too extreme, but of upbringing, we'll say.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of her training for how to function in society and all of this stuff. And it sounds like, you know, she's been struggling with this for a while. Clearly she's reading things that people in her circles are not. And she goes from that to just the way other direction in a matter of days.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that is very, very interesting to me. And it's very interesting as well how quickly she lets in this strange man kind of thing.
Right.
And he, I don't mean strange in the sense of that he's kooky. I just mean foreign, right? She has never met him before in her entire life. She doesn't know anybody that knows him. She has nothing to go off of with this guy. And I would love to discuss kind of the shortcomings and the benefits here, as well as like what we do when we are in a fragile place kind of thing.
Okay.
So first thing is that they have this walk on the deck later on, and you know, they have this whole back and forth, Jack and Rose, this is where they're like, she's like threatening to leave, but she doesn't because she enjoys being around him and all this stuff. And Jack's just kind of like, okay, all
that's
right,
a cute scene.
It's a really cute
I do
scene.
Like that
it's
scene,
a very
yeah.
cute scene. And I, another more backstory
when
here.
When she says, when she's about to walk away, and she's like, I don't have to leave. Like, I belong here. Like, you leave. You leave.
Yeah, and he's like, now I'm lesser and all this. You know, very cute.
I love that.
I think something interesting to note is that when my perception of this movie, I thought immediately they just meet and then they're just like in the car kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not. I mean, it actually builds it kind of thing.
Yeah,
that doesn't justify the action, of course. But I was at least thankful that it was, I was like, oh, you're, there's character development.
Yes.
Well, that's good.
Yes.
So we start off with this, and she is scared, right? She's afraid of being vulnerable and of, you know, actually living fully, maybe, we can say. And she actually has a moment where she reverts and goes back and is like, no, I can't see you anymore, all this sort of thing. And I am blanking. You've seen it more recently. I'm forgetting what breaks her out of that she then decides to... Because is that after the dinner? Or that's before the dinner, right?
I think it's after the dinner. I want to say, I think they had the dinner almost immediately after her being saved. Right. What breaks her out of it is that she then, Jack tries to talk to her.
Right.
And it's like, come away with me. And mm-hmm. she's like, no, I can't. But then I think if I remember correctly, she's like at lunch with the next day with her mom. And she's just hearing her mom kind of prattle on about rumory, gossipy,
right.
silly stuff. And right. she's just kind of like looking over and she sees this little girl who's just kind of like,
oh yeah,
carefully folding her napkin on her lap. And she just, I think she makes that connection that you just mentioned of mm-hmm. like how she sees this little girl being brought up in this way of
Victorian
kind of being trapped in this life of,
it's Victorian stoicism, yeah. right?
Yes. And she just realizes like that's not what I think. She feels sorry for the girl and doesn't want her to live like in that life. And yeah. she realizes that's not what she wants either. And she's gonna break out of it. Mm-hmm. To my mind, that was what changed her.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you. I definitely forgot that scene.
It helps that I watched it this morning.
Literally this morning. Yeah. So I think we have this kind of moment of change, and. And she then is drawn back to Jack, right?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
At this point, well, no, because it's after the dinner that he invites her down to the... So this must have been before the dinner, right? Because he doesn't... Or no, he invites... They go to downstairs and have the dance and the drink and then she's like, no, I can't go back. And then they have their grand... Right?
I don't remember exactly. It's a lot. It's like a whole movie within a movie. Is there romance before?
It's like two different movies.
It really is. Yeah. It
goes. You have the ship. You have the tragedy.
Yeah.
And then after the yeah.
Yeah.
So at any rate, a lot of back and forth to this sort of thing, and then she kind of commits, if you will, to Jack.
Yes.
And is totally done with it, and they're being pursued by Spicer Lovejoy, played by David Warner, who's sort of the
manservant of
Cal Hockley,
yeah,
the enforcer, if you will, and yeah, he's like, yeah, he doesn't work for the boat, he works for Cal.
Yes, definitely,
kind of a hitman or something.
Yeah,
like
I thought
that
he was
type.
Almost more evil than Cal. And
oh, he definitely was. Yeah, he definitely was, because Cal isn't willing to do things, but Spicer is,
right?
And so they're running from him and all this stuff, and Jack eventually gets caught somewhere in there, and he is handcuffed, and then the ship starts sinking and it's filling up all this stuff.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Big things I want to look at is I have rambled on the plot now just to give people a brief little summary, a sense of it. But Rose goes from, you know, being very dissatisfied with her life to wanting to kill herself to being saved by this guy to feeling this sense of freedom when this foreign dude and trust to going back to being like, no, I have to commit and do this for my mother, maybe for those around me, for love of her, to being totally done with it and going full on with Jack. This scares me, not because their affection for each other isn't genuine, but what if Jack was awful?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like Jack very easily could have been an awful, reprehensible, abusive guy that was just taking advantage of Rose in a bad situation. Now he isn't, right? But I look at this plot kind of thing and I look at her heart and it's like, wow, man, I mean, that very easily could have been way worse.
Yeah.
Right. And it makes some of, you know, like her mother's reaction in particular, not totally irrational, right?
Totally. Yeah.
In some sense. And so I want to look at that at first, like what with the discussion question being, how do we respond when we are in a place of vulnerability, right? And how do we know, like who is safe for us? I think and good for us. And I think something that happens with you know, why I want to talk about Rose in particular being interesting is because Jack is he's decently consistent throughout the movie.
Yeah.
He has, you know, some changes in this sort of thing, but he's being himself the whole time, right?
Yeah, he doesn't.
Rose is the one that's going through some really deep identity shifts,
mm-hmm.
right? And in a sense, Jack is able to pass his free spirit off to her.
Right, exactly.
And then she's living a life.
It's a great description.
You know, a life more full.
Two souls united. That's the chapter heading of one of the.
Oh my gosh! There you go. Okay, yeah, there you know.
You like unite and it's, absolutely. Yeah, like you said, passes on the free spirit.
Totally, totally. And so, I wanted like, what do we do when we're vulnerable, and how does that, how is that more important than when we're stable? I think is a question, because here, what she does is she latches onto someone else. So I think the proper response that I would like to kind of discuss is like, in this moment, this is not a moment to turn to someone. It is, but not like someone around us. Yeah. It's a moment to turn to the Lord, right?
Right.
And these, when we're in these really vulnerable places, and this is the danger here of turning to someone, right? Like, totally. Because they are fallible, right? But he isn't, and he's going to always tell us who we are. I don't have a really clear point. I'm realizing I'm just kind of prattling on.
I mean, I think it's great. I love how you just worked through it and that discussion question. It's interesting. I think one thing that is interesting about it is that, it's a little bit hard. Do you ever find it challenging when you're watching a movie like this and like God isn't really in the picture? They're not really... active disciples of the Lord. No. There's religion is shown. They go to church at one point.
Some Protestant church.
They play "Near My God to Thee" as they're singing like that.
Which actually wasn't the final song.
Oh really?
It was like it's contested whether it was that one or a different one, but I'm pretty sure there's good evidence it was not "Near My God to Thee."
I like that one though.
I know I did too. Like, which is a bummer. At any rate.
So there's like those references to faith. In fact, you see a priest at the end who's doing
a general absolution kind of.
And he's quoting the Psalms, I think. And
that's
and
a really beautiful.
It's a beautiful scene, and he seems like he's like, it's a pretty good representation of a priest in that situation.
Which is really cool.
Which is great.
The priesthood gets referenced.
But by and large, like, it's hard. Like, you're saying, like, you shouldn't turn to this other person. You should turn to the Lord. It's tough when she doesn't have a relationship.
She doesn't.
With
There's nothing there. Yeah.
Like, how it's hard, like, when you don't have the framework of knowing how to be a disciple of Christ and turn to him in prayer.
Yeah.
Not having mentors or guides in that. Not having... there's some sort of church, but she doesn't seem to have like a life of grace or an access to like sacraments, that sort of thing. So it's interesting because there's times like this where it's like, gosh, who is she supposed to turn to when she's been, like you said, in this like abusive relationship and she's trapped in it and her mother's counting on her to be, marrying him so that they don't fall into poverty or whatever. And all this. And so there's a way in which it's like, it makes you think the only thing she can do is fall into his arms in a sense. But you're right that in reality, we could say like, oh, she needs to turn to the Lord, but like, it's hard.
No, it's very hard. And I don't mean to say like, I'm not trying to critique the movie here.
Yeah.
I want to more make a comment on the status of the human heart, in particular the feminine heart, which I can't speak into because I'm not a woman, but I can observe.
Yeah.
And look at the men in her life. Like, her dad died, I think it's said, at a decently young age, if I remember right. And he left them debt and all this stuff. And I'm assuming if he was also Victorian and a Stoic, he probably wasn't the greatest dad. And look at this man that she's engaged to. Like, oh my gosh.
He's
like,
awful.
Talk about horrible. And so it's no surprise then that a man who speaks to her as an equal, right, as opposed to some lesser thing, which is how she's been treated.
Right.
It's very revelatory for her and really kind of goes to work pretty quickly on her heart.
Yeah.
And I think that's something to note as well. Like, I mean, I by no means, right. So I, first of all here, this thought came to me as you were speaking, Andy, like women listening, I by no means am trying to say like you should have functioned differently if you have ever run to a man, like how dare you not run to the Father? Like, no, I'm so sorry if that's what came across. I really just want to comment on this specific thing.
Yeah.
But I think, so yes, of course, run to the Father. But also like looking at Rose's situation, like it makes total sense.
Right.
Right. That Jack is all of a sudden as attractive as he is, before we get to his charm or whatever, he's just, he looks at her, right, and he's I think we all desire, there's a beautiful complementary between masculinity and femininity, and I think we all desire for that to be fulfilled in some way in our lives, regardless of the call of our life.
Yeah,
And we all want someone to contend with, right? I don't think anyone wants to have someone who is just, so, I mean, if we're talking about a spousal relationship in particular, you don't want someone who's just going to roll over every time you say something, nor do you want someone that's going to berate you every time you suggest something. Right. So when I say contend, I mean someone who is going to give their thoughts, but be united with you at the end of the day, whatever that looks like.
Right.
And that has not been her experience in her male or female relationships, to be fair.
And I think she finds that on some level with Jack, which is
absolutely
so. That is, yeah. And I think one thing maybe that's making me think about in this is, you know, at one point they're talking about Jack's talking about his life philosophy, right? And he says, "I figure life's a gift. I don't intend on wasting it. You don't know what hand you're going to get dealt next. You learn to take life as it comes at you to make each day count." And that's really like a big line of the movie, because they even repeat it. They toast, you know, to making it count,
right?
But the thing there is, like, you learn to take life as it comes at you. There's a way in which that's totally true. I think you and I probably would both consider ourselves some degree of free spirit, right? And like
wow, really? You would think I'm a free spirit?
I think so.
Oh.
I think you are.
That's the first time I've ever been called that in my entire life.
No.
Yeah.
I think if people know you, they know you embrace adventure, right? And you do take the day as it comes at you in many ways, I think.
Well, thank you, Andy. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I didn't know it was such a compliment. I guess I was considering because here's the deal. It's like, I feel like that's good in many ways. But in other ways, you really got to step back.
Oh yeah,
and not just take the day as it comes at you, but like, gain some perspective.
Absolutely.
And so I guess that's my main thing. I found was like, yeah, if you're just looking at her situation, it's just like, yeah, like definitely go to him. Mm-hmm. Why would you not? And like, just go with life as it comes at you. And this is way better than where you are at what you've experienced. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, it's like, it really is important to like step back. And if you could step back from the situation, and similar situations in other movies where it's like, oh, that makes sense for them in this context. But it's like, if you could step back though and say like, how did it get to this? And like, what would be a better, you know, situation, is kind of the thought. And so I think that's important as a life philosophy too, is like, you know, yes, to take the life as it comes to you, but also to, it is important to step back and to consider and to, you know, what do they say about discipleship, where like, you know, you to count the cost, right?
Yeah.
And like, and yeah, not just leap.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously discipleship also involves just getting up and following Jesus, but like, but yeah. So there's like that immediacy and that sense of perspective are both important, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, I don't know.
I think that's a beautiful point. I think the final thing on Rose is that, I think an effect of this relationship, I think it in some ways actually affects her negatively, because, and this is the last 5 minutes of the movie that I'll get
into. Okay. Yeah. Hit us. Why do you dislike it?
The final 5 minutes, she says she never revealed to her husband or to her granddaughter that, you know, all this stuff with this man and this sort of thing. And I was like, okay, well, that's awful. You spent the majority of your life with this man and raised up a new generation of men and women. And now you're just gonna all of a sudden, as you're about to die, be like, yeah, by the way, never told him about this. Like, no. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's horrible. And then when she dies, she enters into the heavenly paradise with Jack, who she was not married to and raised the whole family with and this sort of thing. And it totally, for me anyway, just cuts the legs out from any of the depth that the character had and any, you know, justification I could make that her relationship with Jack was good and wholesome or whatever. They sinned, but it was wholesome. It just totally destroys it, because I'm like, this woman knew nothing. She knew nothing of love. You know, if she's just going to trash it all and go back to her little couple of day romance before a traumatic incident.
Yeah.
You know, and forsake the man that cared for her for years, we assume, because she's got a granddaughter and all this stuff. And it totally was unbelievable for me that the granddaughter is sitting there smiling. Yeah, grandma's sharing.
That was definitely my thoughts.
Really? You think this is cute that grandma's bringing this up now? I don't believe that at all.
Yeah.
So, very heated there. Sorry. I was just like, I think Rose had so much more depth to her than that, you know, shallow ending for a character, and that's why the last 5 minutes, yeah. I was up in arms while I was watching. I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, no.
I feel the same about that bit. The fact of her like kind of walking into heaven or whatever and seeing like Jack and all that, it was kind of like, I saw that more as like just maybe the final kind of, as her brain and her memory is, you know, passing, like, yeah. I don't know, her consciousness, like remembering that pivotal time, because it was a pivotal relationship,
yeah,
pivotal moment.
But it's like they were getting married in the scene, right? She's in white. Am I dreaming, or was she in white? And it was like the wedding sequence on the steps.
I didn't see it so much as marriage.
Okay.
As so much as like, it was interesting though, because everyone's like seeing and kind of approving of it, which obviously right. they never would have in that context.
No.
Either. Yeah. Yeah. I saw it less like, oh, this is her heaven, and more like it was just her returning to something so fundamental to her personhood. Which is, yeah. I think, fair and true.
Which is fair
even
and true,
if
but
she obviously is married for years to this other person.
I know, it just felt really shallow, is all.
Totally.
And
I didn't feel bad for her like actual husband. I was like, what about him?
Come on,
yeah.
I don't know, and we don't know anything about him. But like, I was just like, I just don't. So I think, I think it does show something though, yeah. of like her, of the kind of journey she went on, where it seems anyway like, while you know, you see photographs of her flying a plane, riding a horse,
yeah,
like a man, and
yeah,
all this stuff,
yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, it seems like she, you know, lived quote unquote a full life, right? That the kind of climax of her life, you get the sense anyway, was with Jack,
yeah,
on the Titanic, and
yeah.
that's kind of where she peaked, and everything after that was just like making do with what she had, almost, even though it was nice.
I don't know. I think she took the free spirit and like lived her life in that spirit.
Yeah.
Is at least what they're trying to say.
Yeah.
But you're right. There is a way in which it's communicating that she peaked there. Because if her entrance into afterlife is embracing Jack on the steps of the Titanic. Like, yeah, you're right. There's a way in which she peaked there.
Right.
That's interesting.
But I think something to kind of, so that was my biggest like
grief
with the movie.
I detested that she didn't ever share that. That seemed wrong.
Yeah, it seemed very wrong. I think while that is my biggest grievance with the movie, I think a beautiful thing about the character of Rose is her persistence, of course. I think
yeah.
she's a really strong woman who, I take that back. I think she is an exceptionally weak woman, and she's aware of that. And that's what's beautiful. She recognizes her shortcomings. She recognizes, I think, in some ways, her inability to complete a task, but she is determined to bring it to fruition regardless.
Yeah, I
and
agree
so
with
I think,
that. She has multiple
I think
times
that's what's yeah. wonderful about her is that
totally.
She's very humble, right? It's absolutely humiliating for her to go back and be like, no, I will choose this path. Humiliating again to come back to Jack. Like, can you imagine how vulnerable that is to be like,
yeah.
I reject you. Oh no, I reject you. But then coming back again and being like, no, actually, I love you.
Yeah.
That's so humbling. And so I think that's really a beautiful moment that I think we can take something from, right? As far as acceptance. And I'm a man. I don't understand the feminine genius,
yes.
In so much as like experience. But I think there's something for women to glean there from overcoming adversity in their own lives. And women listening, I think, as a brother in Christ, I just want to apologize for the times that you were not, I think, treated with the utmost dignity and respect that you should have been.
Right.
And we look at, I'm this is probably triggering for some women to watch, I would guess, given the context of the relationship
yeah.
with Cal, the fiance there. It's also, I don't know, I'm sure there's some other things triggering in the relationship with Leonardo, you know, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
But women, I'm so sorry for any time that, you know, you were not treated with the utmost respect as a daughter of God that you should have been. I'm so sorry, and I'm so sorry that, you know, I hope this isn't the first time you're hearing that, right? Like, I'm so sorry too,
totally.
If this is the first time you're hearing that kind of thing. And I just want to speak the truth that Jesus has redeemed you, right? That he wants to bring you into the fullness that you can experience here and now on
yeah.
earth, right? You don't need to wait until the final release at death in order to experience a life to the full with Christ and the adventure that he wants to encounter or experience with you through that encounter with him. And I think ultimately, right, the spousal love that Rose was looking for is really the spousal love that Jesus offers all women, regardless of vocation, in order to enter into relationship with him, and that it is an absolute adventure after that. And
yeah.
it is totally free spirit, right?
Yeah.
And he is the best romancer of all time. And right. he absolutely wants to speak to your heart and romance you in a way that only he can and only he will. Right. You're not going to find it elsewhere.
Right. And for men, like what you should take, I think a certain example from Jack of respecting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of the way that he pays attention.
Mm-hmm. Listening.
The way that he encourages her to live fully and like knows that she's capable of living life well and living it fully.
Yeah.
Like women want that. They want to like live a full life and not just be, in your shadow or something, you know, taking that and like recognizing that. And like, so there's so many, laudable aspects of the way that he relates to her that it could be taken. Mm-hmm. And yet though, like you've just been saying, I didn't love that she says, at the end, you know, Jack, save me in all the ways that a person can be saved. Cause I was thinking,
I remember that now.
There's one way he can save you.
And
there's one way, there's at least one way that another person cannot save you, you know? Yeah. There ain't no man that can save you is the Avery Brothers lyric, right? Mm-hmm. That can save your soul in the way that it needs to be saved.
Yeah.
Only Jesus can do that. And so, even though another person can be, such a source of personal growth and, you know, coming into your own and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't find all of that in just another person.
Yeah. Like,
and so, yeah, that's my final thoughts too. Crazy. Wow. Well, we just talked about Titanic. I thought we would never do this, but we did it.
Yeah, but here we are. We just talked about it.
We spoke about it.
I want to apologize. I was reflecting on the conversation. I rattled on for a very long time.
No, I think it was largely incoherent.
I hope you gleaned good things from that, dear listener, if you are still listening.
No, yes, absolutely. No, I thought you it was really helpful that we talked about just the story and got to understand it. I don't know. It's a big movie. 3 hours and 14 minutes.
14 minutes. The same amount of time that it sank. Titanic sank.
That's so funny. Okay, well, great. Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. Please join us next week as we cover C.S. Lewis's allegorical tale, The Great Divorce.
Stoked out of my mind. Though They Die is sponsored by Net Ministries. To get in touch with Andy and Ali, email us at thoughtheydie@netusa.org.
And to get involved as a net missionary, go to netusa.org/apply and apply today. Thanks.
Peace and blessings.